This show was previously broadcast live on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Go. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly, and my name is Daryl Clark, and I have Ron Weitz, my partner in crime, in studio.
Here I am, ready or not.
All right, and we also have a guest co-host, which we have from time to time. As you know, sometimes we have Bob Levis, and we've had Diane Freeman, and Max Fraud is even guest co-hosted. But this morning we have a colleague of mine, a fellow naturopath, Lawrence Story, and thought it'd be apropos for Lawrence. So we go back a little while, and I know he's well versed with Dick. So thought it'd be a good pleasant treat for the listeners. Lawrence, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Daryl. Good morning.
How are you doing
this morning?
How are you?
Hi,
good
we're
morning,
supposed to
Ron.
Hi. Fine, we're supposed to have Dick Gregory if we didn't get him.
Well, actually, I mentioned to Lawrence, and I might have mentioned to you earlier that, you know, Dick, to grace our airwaves is a real treat, and he was doing this in his travels, and he just let the studio know that he's going to be joining us in just a moment. He's in D.C. doing some work, and he got himself tied up. So he will be joining us momentarily. And I'm truly looking forward to this one. You know, Dick Gregory goes all the way back. Maybe this is a good time to do a little intro until we have him join us. He was involved with civil rights. A true humanitarian, in fact. Dick even ran for president. I don't think a lot of people realize.
I think I voted for him.
Started out pretty much as a comedian. I mean, he goes back to the days of Bill Cosby when he started, and for many of you who are familiar with that era. Nipsey Russell, Jeffrey Cambridge, you know, those guys.
Bill
Cosby,
Slappy White.
That's another one.
Bill Cosby grew up three blocks from my house, and he's exactly my age.
What did you say, Ron?
When I was living in Philadelphia, Bill Cosby was living two or three blocks from my house, and he's almost exactly my age. But he went to another school.
Oh, okay.
So
I'm not surprised that he went to another school.
My school is 50-50, black and white. He just lived across the avenue and was in a different district, so it wasn't segregated.
What age is that, Ron?
Oh, my goodness. That was in the,
you put it out there?
In the, let's see, early 40s, early to mid-40s. And when I moved up to another part of Philadelphia, it was totally segregated up until I graduated high school. And then the 1954, when I graduated, the Supreme Court decision came through, Kansas Board of Education. And I didn't see a black face in any of my classrooms until I got to college.
No, that's interesting that you said it wasn't segregated there in Philly when Bill Cosby was living near you, because you know, that wasn't so much the norm back then.
No, well, the neighborhood was totally mixed, and I know it's exactly 50-50. You know, it's my calculations when I was as a young kid, and if Cosby had lived a block or two north, he would have been in my elementary school. And I imagine the racial mix in his school is about the same.
Okay.
We share neighborhood.
It goes, as I was saying, you know, all the way back. And, you know, I guess it was during that turmoil of the 60s that it appears Dick began to focus more on social issues than performing. I mean, he became very active in that whole movement in the 60s, you know, marching with Martin and just being involved with, you know, that entire energy that, and we're going to talk about that energy that erupted during that time, and you know, where has it gone?
He's added the health points, the fasting, and because Dick has been also very involved in the naturopath, the health movement since that time. He's as well known for that as he is for his political activism.
I've been following Dick with the Bohemian Diet. Listen, I don't want to lose a moment of having this grand opportunity to have Dick with us. I can talk more about his accolades. I mean, he was not just a civil rights advocate for African Americans, but I mean, he truly was a humanitarian. He was in Iran, remember? Ayatollah Khomeini, that whole incident with the American embassy.
Yeah,
I mean, so he truly has walked the talk, and we've had numerous you know, Mary Baraka, numerous folks that have on this show that have done much in moving forward human and civil rights. But I think many, if not all, pale to Dick. Let's take a break. I believe we have Dick on standby now, and come right back after this break, and let's have this dialogue for the next hour, the rest of the show. Welcome back to Progressive News Weekly, and as I said earlier, you've got Daryl Clark hosting Progressive News Weekly along with Ron White and our guest co-host, Lawrence Fishburne, a fellow colleague and naturopath of mine. We also have with us a very special guest, Dick Gregory. Dick, are you here?
God bless you, my brother.
Hey,
God bless you, man.
Welcome.
You know, we've been trying to make this happen for a while, and I'm just so happy that we've got it.
thank God it's happening. Thank God for this type of show. You know, I've said for years that money is not power and education is not power, but information is power.
Yeah.
And if you get bad information, you have bad power.
Well,
and so no critical time then now for people to get information. One of the sad parts is the brain system has been put together universally that if you don't hear it over and over and over and over, it don't work. That's why Coca-Cola takes our ads every 15 minutes on every station. And I'm born 1932. And I can still sing of them jingles. Pepsi tastes good.
Pepsi.
So this information is so important. And what I tell people, when you got information like this, you tape it. And then play it over and over and over. And then it etches in. Because we are going through some critical times now. And if anybody wanted to attack the people, see, at one time you had Germany and France and Japan individually. That don't happen anymore now. It's a group of them thugs and got together, and they do what is necessary, to what they call necessary, for the planet to survive. And one of those is they decided, and probably scientifically, that this planet was made to hold 500 million people. So now the elimination process starts, and there's no better way you can do that than genetically engineered food. That's why a lot of companies in Europe, countries, do not take out what they call Frankenstein food, because you can do certain things and create certain aptitudes.
Dick, it's so interesting, because last week we had a doctor, Rima LeBeau, and she's not practicing medicine, but she is a humanitarian, and she's a person who heads up a foundation, Natural Solutions, and she visits from time to time. She's got probably 250,000 right now, what we call mouse warriors, and she visits the Codex, and I know you're familiar with the Codex organization and how they're trying to control the food source in America. And in the last couple of weeks, we've been doing programs to try and educate our listeners to the importance of knowing about genetically modified food and knowing some of these egregious bills that are attempting to be passed. Right now, John McCain is trying to pass a so-called food safety bill that's basically going to prevent small farmers from being able to produce, because he's in bed, I believe, with the Monsantos of the world. And as you know, Monsanto owns 80% of certain seeds in the whole world.
Biggest Nazis in the world.
So it's interesting that you have mentioned this, because I believe sometimes people are not believing what's really going on. It's hard to believe, perhaps. And she made the statement similar to what you said. She says there is a consorted effort worldwide to cut back on the population because they consider resources to be so scarce. And you just hit upon that like a hammer on a nail, as you often so well often do. I was going to even ask you, you know, your thoughts about this whole thing with the vaccines and so-called pandemic, which we have not seen.
Yeah, well, so when you stop and look at what they are telling us, and they so scientifically together, for instance, I've got my hands on some research where they took a carrot and crossbreeded it, genetically engineered with a firefly. And at nighttime, that carrot lights up. So the first thing I said, wow, what happens now in the Christian religion when we've been told that there'll be a second coming? If a woman gives birth to a baby today and that baby lights up, who wouldn't think that is
Jesus.
The second coming? Okay? Now, last year, people didn't pay no attention to it. Why should they? They had these cats, two cats, separate times, that lit up. And nobody knows about the genetic engineering. And so all of us, and then they shut it down. They take genetically engineered food, for instance, they got a way to create organic tomatoes, and they crossbreed it with a fish cell, and that makes that tomato hold water. Now, if you run out your house going somewhere and come back 6 weeks later and you forgot to put your tomatoes in the refrigerator, them tomatoes are just as fresh and red.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The problem is when you eat those tomatoes and all the other things, it makes your body hold water. So I've come to you, you my doctor. You know nothing about this type of research. So you give me the type of medicine that you would give some person who's waterlogging. And now I come back 2 weeks later, and it's worse. So naturally you think I'm not taking my medicine. And I'm telling you I am. Once I convince you of that, you say, well, maybe I need to give you a stronger type, and that'll kill me. You know, we all know about Whole Foods, but few people know Whole Foods is owned by Staples. Now, you can't find no bigger gangsters than them. And Whole Foods ran into a problem. Wherever they functioned in a city where there was Wild Oats Health Food, which they only dealt in selling their product 4% more than markup. So what did they do with the help of the administration? They went out and bought all the Whole Foods. I mean, all the Wild Oats. Well, there was
Wild
a big, big thing, and administration is do this fit under the antitrust, and eventually they got it. And so when you sit around and have the people you supposed to trust that you can't trust, then all your genetically. Every white potato you buy in America, except the ones that the little farmers grow locally, those potatoes have been so genetically engineered. So then you ask yourself a question, the H1N1, this is the first time in the history of influenza. Now, if influenza is not something that just happened, you go back 6,000 years, before the Egyptians, that's where the word came from. And where they looked up at the stars, you didn't have nothing else to do. You looked at the stars, you looked at the sky, and somebody said, wait a minute, you know, every time these planets get arranged like this here, my body heats up. Now, they don't know nothing about taking a temperature. And sometimes my nose runs, so then they start studying it and watching it. And that's why it's named influ. It came from there, Nubians, influenced by the stars. So that's been here a long time. So now they can genetically engineer. For instance, if you all go to your and punch up on your computer sometime this week, the death toll from H1N1, influenza, this is the first time in the history of them keeping record that more young folks died than older folks. Normally, you have 40,000 people die. 85% of those is 50 and over. This time, 87% of the deaths last year was 60% was 30 and down. So I'm saying, wow, man. What have they done to these potatoes? That's fast food. China is one of the major populations in the world. They only had 4 deaths. And they say, well, it's because we don't accept genetically engineered potatoes. And India had 53 cases, but no deaths. And so you come back here to America, and not only do you have this high amount of deaths, but young people. And so, consequently, they get you, you know, 89% of all the milk that Americans buy come from cloned cows. And you know what really wipes me out? I'm born 1932, St. Louis, Missouri. I didn't see no white folks, man, except in the movies. I mean, I didn't know there was ugly white folks. I didn't know there was dumb white folks. Because back then, Marlon Brando couldn't have got a role. So they would just use handsome men and attractive women, and when they wanted to use something ugly, they called it Wolfman, Frankenstein, and Dracula. And those movies had such an effect on you, man.
Absolutely.
I used to go to movies when I was a boy and pull for the cowboys to whoop the Indians. Okay? And so consequently, if you look at the Academy Award the other night, 1 billion people tune into that. And so when you stop and think about how they can influence but genetically and in America. And the reason I went back to my childhood, all my life I wanted to be white, man, because I just didn't know white folks tolerated this stuff. I didn't know that white folks would sit by and let the pharmaceutical company decide what medicine they were going to put out at our tax. You know, we pay that because they get it from the government and under the new development. And so consequently, all your vaccine has mercury in it. Now, they go into schools and they're taking the mercury thermometers out. If you have mercury fillings, your dentist will violate a federal law. If that dentist don't get in touch with the EPA, they send a box that they to put that in. And yet and still, they tell us, well, you see, I overrated white folks. I thought that white folks, back, I didn't think it was no dumb Jews. I thought all Jews were smart and wrote books. And so last year, when they arrested all them white folks in New Jersey, and out of them was 13 rabbis, then I said, wait a minute, you ought to be smart. All you have to do is take your cap off. And then you look like any other.
You got a stack of notebooks to sell your truck.
You look like any other thug.
Wow.
And so consequently, I just thought white folks did not tolerate the stuff that happens. And so I was banking on white folks. I didn't know that, you know, a drug pusher could stand on the corner and the police see him every day and nothing happens. Well, now, there's 3 types of marijuana. It's probably more now, but the 3 major parts of marijuana is 1, light green, dark green, and gunion. Light green makes you real happy, dark green makes you real fast, and gunion makes you want to fight. That's why the Turkish army has always been praised about what good soldiers they're using gunion. In a lot of countries, what I didn't know until about 5 years ago, that more people die in America from lung cancer, from grief, than smoking cigarettes. Well, I'm brought up believing that grief is part of my respect for you. And I didn't know grief is a violation of the universe. It's just like, you know, when Coretta Scott King died, grief. When the guy who played Superman, the last one, died, and 18 months later his wife died from lung cancer, and they said she didn't smoke. Grief. So again, I said there's more people die from lung cancer in America from grief than smoking cigarettes. And so when you start looking around at how you've been programmed and the attitudes they put in the food. Now let's say on the corner there's a person selling marijuana. Now when you buy it, you don't know if you're buying light green, dark green, or bunion. In the country that have professional moments. In other words, if you die in Turkey at the funeral, those are professional moments. So what do? They load up on dark green, makes them sad, you know. And so consequently, when you think about what they put out here on the street car, I've been knowing long before Timothy O'Leary died that he was a government agent. Coming out of Harvard, PhD, and turn on, blah, blah, blah. And now all at once, now there's books beginning to come out talk about that whole era, who was planted out there to do this and to do that. And so consequently, the only reason I think we might can, and that's really doubtful, and turn this around is because the age of Aquarius moved in May the 5th, the year 2000. And now for 6,000 years, this planet's been ruled by darkness, and now after May the 5th, 2000, light takes a turn now. And so there's a lot of information that they used to could hold that they can't hold now. There's a speech that Henry Kissinger made, and he talked about, you know, in order to save the planet, you have to eliminate about 350 million people a day immediately. And that speech was classified. Someone put a lawsuit in and won, and that's declassified now. The whole document.
Yeah, that was cited by our guest last week.
It was, okay. And the word you got to look for is useless eaters. That's their code word. When you hear useless eaters, you think it's people on death row, people in jail, the homeless. Useless eaters is everybody listening to you right now. We are all useless eaters. They're dealing with numbers to eliminate and do it in a way where you're not aware that they're doing it. And see, like you said, that was mentioned last week. See, when my grandmother hears that, she don't believe it. She believes only God. She don't believe that we have a microwave up in Katuna, Alaska, that creates hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes. My grandmother believes can't nobody do that but God. And so they got a whole lot of stuff going for them with that block they have in their head. And so, I just say somewhere, how do you get out of it? How do you go back to the day when there was one person on this planet? If you're a Christian like me, one person named Adam. And then Adam said to God, I need a helpmate. And God didn't say, how can you be lonely when ain't nobody here but you? Okay, now when we let them get by with that, right? And then so here comes Eve. They had two children, Cain and Abel. One son killed the other one. So now you got four people on the planet before the killing. Adam, Eve, and the two sons. Then one boy killed the other. Now you got three people. And then he went out and got him a wife. It got to be his mama. So the word MF,
it's MF.
We can blame for that in the ghetto. No, you got to take it further than that. And so until we, okay? I mean, Jesus Christ killed on Friday. And these thugs are so smooth, man. They got a Christian like me calling that a good day. I call it Good Friday, okay? And have no problems with it. So if I borrow $10,000 from you on Friday and say I'll pay you back in 3 days, that's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, then I got to ask, how come Easter in America keeps showing up on Sunday? That's 2 days. And so when you stop and think about how the mind is brainwashing, they have the money to do that brainwashing, and you take, like, Ted Turner, and if you pull up the book you said was on the show that's out here, so the government printing office don't have it. You can pull it down on your computer. You'd be horrified to see what Ted Turner and the Sahara Club and all them folks are saying. And then you look around at, you know, CNN is probably one of the coolest stations. In fact, when Monsanto and them want to do something, they take millions of dollars worth of ads off. Just to, not to say, hey, what we're doing is right. Then the people who own CNN look back and say, wow, man, we make more money off of Boeing. Now, why is Boeing going to advertise on CNN doing the anti-war movement? Who's going to buy a $1 billion airplane? Huh? That's to say to the owners of the station, y'all better be cool.
Goodwill.
Because you're making more money. And so you got all this going against you, and nobody is saying, wait a minute, how do we turn this around? And food, my God, when you stop and think, you know, Coca-Cola makes a bottle of water. DeSante, you're aware of that, right?
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Y'all that's listening, pull up on your computer the largest fine in the history of Europe was handed out to Coca-Cola on that bottle of water. And what happened is they realized that ain't nothing but tap water purified with benzene and arsenic. And the judge said over there at the European trial, he said, the reason I'm fining you $900 million, he said, because the deal that's been made between different countries and nations and your power, I can't put all y'all in jail, but I would like to. And so Coca-Cola, there's a case going on in northern Dallas. I didn't realize till I got involved with watching this that, one, the soda pop has a date on it, expiration date. And when that date is passed, you're supposed to throw it away because it will break down to a mild poison. What they found out, because some white folks that have been doing this for Coke for years, I guess got a conscience. That's what I love about old Christians. They're getting ready to go to heaven, so they tell on everybody. Trying to get that passed. They tell on everybody.
The rapture's with us.
And so consequently, they found out they was taking these expired Cokes out of the white stores, taking them to this warehouse in northern Dallas, and redate them and send them to the black stores. So now I'm saying, wow, man, Coca-Cola is not the most vicious Fortune 500. So what are the pharmaceutical companies doing? Are they doing the same thing? Or that stuff sitting gets expired, and then they send it in to the, you get earthquakes and stuff. You have these companies donating billions of dollars, which is a tax write-off. But that's medicine that couldn't be used in the first place. And so consequently, they're coming at you from all angles, from everywhere they can get you. And so there's a thing called manganese. The body couldn't function without manganese. But if you get too much of it in your body, you kill your mother. When you think about lead poisoning, you know, the British cops don't carry guns. There's a reason for that. If my child can get lead poisoning because I got some lead paint on the wall that I didn't know about, then what happened to cops that wear lead bullets around their belly 24 hours a day? And I think if somebody did the proper research, you would find out that cops in America, more cops in America die from suicide than kill in the line of duty. The number one, the voice occupation in America is police, and their second wives is prostitutes. You can trace that back to the lead. That's why the old days, the cowboys, they called them gunslingers, because that gun would never touch their body. It slung down. And they couldn't carry but six shots because they knew about the lead. And so that's why they called them dead ideal. You had to take care of business quick. And so consequently, all of this information, the number one cause of death in America is sleep deprivation, not cancer, not sugar diabetes, not obesity. The number two cause of death is lack of physical fitness. I'm sorry, the number two cause is dehydration. And the number three cause of death is lack of physical fitness. All of it is free. All of it is gifts from the universe. But we don't have time. That's no accident. And so most mothers and fathers who kill their little children, shake them and break their neck or slap them, it's sleep deprivation. And so I remember an extreme case was on the Oprah Winfrey Show where she said, the person she was talking to, his wife had three PhDs. She was president of the college in the little town. He owned and ran the hospital. They got a little four-year-old tot that every morning she would take the youngster to preschool, except Thursday. She had meetings early, so he would take it. But every day, he would pick the baby up from preschool. So this day, he go to pick it up and said, well, nobody brought her today. So he called his wife and said, how come you didn't take Stephanie to school today? She said, today's Thursday, it's your day. And then he put the child in the back seat. They go to sleep. Through sleep deprivation, he forgot the baby was in the car, went right to work, locked up the door, raised the windows, 106, baby dead in the car. So they come at you from every different way.
And wow.
Yes.
So much information. As I'm one to have expected. We need to take a quick break, and we come back, we'll talk some more about number one cause. As a naturopath, and then my colleague Lawrence also, we often say iatrogenesis, which is, of course, death by medicine. But you make, you know, interesting perspective in those three areas. Let's take a quick 30-second break and then come back and continue this. And we'll also like to take some calls. And anyone that would like to send me an email to progressivenews@msn.com if you have a question for Mr. Dick Gregory. We're going to take a quick break.
This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
I'm Carol Brier, host of Community Currency on Progressive Radio Network every Thursday, 5 to 6 p.m. Please join us as we connect people, ideas, important information, and discover solutions to some of the most urgent problems facing us. Every Thursday, 5 to 6 p.m., Community Currency on Progressive Radio Network.
Hi. This is Karen Hartglass, host of It's All About Food on the Progressive Radio Network. Please join me every Wednesday at 3 p.m. when we talk about the power of the fork, how our food choices affect our health, the environment, and the treatment of animals. Learn how a plant-based diet of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds is not only delicious, but gentle on the planet.
Hey, did you miss your favorite show? Don't worry. PRN has you covered. Just log on to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com and go to the archive page where you can choose from any of our great programs. Listen or download shows from yesterday or even ones dating months back. The Progressive Radio Network, striving to make your lives easier.
This April 22nd, we will celebrate the 40th anniversary of Earth Day. How far have we come? Where do we still need to go? And how quickly? I'm Betsy Rosenberg, and I've been covering the Green Beat for more than a decade, interviewing the most interesting and influential green leaders about the current state of eco-awareness, action, and activism in America. Join the conversation on the Green Front Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on PRN. It's later than we think, but together we can turn it around.
I'm Steve Barnett. I'm your host for the Paradise Parking Lot, an environmental program on the Progressive Radio Network. We're on the air from 1 to 2 Eastern Time every Wednesday. And we talk about everything environmental. This is an hour show, so there are no sound bites. This is a deep discussion of controversial environmental issues. We provide information. We provide guides to action. We have wonderful guests. For example, we've had John Holdren, President Obama's science advisor. We've had Jaron Lanier, the creator of virtual reality. This program is designed for anyone who's interested in the environment and deepening their understanding of how our planet is changing and what we can do about it.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Yes, time is slipping into the future, but right now we have Dick Gregory with us on Progressive News Weekly along with Ron Weitz. And my colleague and fellow naturopath and friend, Lawrence Story. And, of course, I'm Daryl Clark here trying to bring it as I do every week, shooting right from the hip, as Dick alluded to a few moments ago, shooting from the hip. Well, you know what, Dick, you were just talking about the causes of death, and I said, you know, as a naturopath, you know, assisting people every day, we talk about medicine being one of the causes of death, but let me just tell a quick story, because Lawrence was just saying, you know, we need to be bringing this information, and, you know, a lot of where I am now came, and not just trying to patronize you, but the truth is the light, came from interaction with you, and we've had a couple, and I don't know if you remember any of them, but one comes to mind. I think we were in Baltimore. I was in a conference with a corporation I work with at that time. It was a Black Communications Workers conference, and I was walking down the hill to the conference, and you were out in front of your hotel. I was coming from mine, and I walked up on you, and I asked you a question, and I said, you know, Dick, I'm not trying to patronize you. You said, well, that's good. You know, you need to be your old man. I said, well, you know, I'm glad to hear that. I just want to know, you know, how is it that you know so much? I aspire to make a difference in the world. Since then, I've left that corporation to do what I do now. And believe me, it was a sacrifice financially. But, you know, I'm believing I'm making a difference. But you said, Daryl, let me tell you something. You said everything you need to know is out there. You told me how many newspapers you read. You said anything you want, you can get. I said, well, I'm just a, you know, inner city, you know, kid from Cleveland. And you said, Cleveland, let me tell you something about Cleveland. You said, you know what's happening up in there. You know about the Cleveland Clinic. And you went on to talk about some of the things that are happening in our society. And I say all that to say, a lot of what you've talked about, just to summarize in about 30 seconds more, is talking about the fact that we live in a society that does not really serve us. And I don't know if you remember that conversation. You were talking about some of the ills of these hospitals and how we're experimented on. So, you know, with that in mind, I know that you don't necessarily partake in the vaccines and all of the other, you know, chemical drugs, I like to call them. How are you doing? How's your health? How is things?
Well, I was saying to my wife the other day, I'm 78, she's 75. We don't have a prescription between the two of us. And I'm one of those that came out of a black ghetto and believed that this prescription is one, whatever you was eating and didn't run out till you got enough. And bad nutrition is when it ran out before you got enough. And I thank to a beautiful black woman who's deceased, named Dr. Alvenia Fullerton, who back in the late 50s, early 60s, had a health food store. And when people didn't know how to spell health food, and listening to her, and then I found out about naturopaths. And I went to see a naturopath, and you go in and you walk out feeling better. And so I was accidentally exposed to all of this. I used to smoke 4 packs of cigarettes a day. Used to drink a fifth of scotch every day. My top weight was 365 pounds.
Ooh.
And if somebody would have told me that all the stuff I had, it's hard to convince a person. The Ku Klux Klan didn't give me pork or beef or salty potato chips. My mama. My mama, my church, my country, my school. So how somebody I'm going to listen to on the radio, how you going to tell me that this is wrong? Because then that means my mama was wrong, my church was wrong, my everything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so consequently, you can't tell me that, you know, grandma can't read her, but she don't think I have chemicals in the food because she know white folks wouldn't tolerate it. Well, grandma, thank God you did, because you but tolerate it. You know, the FBI keeps files in the ghetto on the relationship between lead and homicide. And I got hold to a copy that reads the relationship between lead exposure and homicide. Because
because they know it gives you this aggressive behavior. They know if you live in the snow belt, that's where it snows every year. And if you notice, in the snow belt in the last 50 years, high blood pressure has increased 80%. Why? Because they come out and they throw salt in the snow. When it melts, the salt turns to water. The snow turns to water. It goes into your water belt, which you drink. If you go out to the rich suburban areas, they don't use salt. They use sand. That's no accident. Okay? That's no accident at all. And so consequently, you know, you say, how do I know so much? Well, let me tell you something. I hated school. It didn't make sense to me. And so consequently, I would escape out the window every chance I got. I said, now where can I go where the white police can't find me as a tourist? I went to the zoo. St. Louis has the number one zoo in America at Forest Park. So I'd go there, and I would just sit all day. And one day I saw him feed the gorilla. Man, the gorilla eat more food in one day than I eat in 6 weeks, and they never had no job. They never went to work. They'd never been to Harvard, Yale, or Morehouse. And then St. Louis is one of the few places that have a boa constrictor. This is a snake that rather lived in captivity. They will starve themselves to death. Well, what they do twice a year is they come out with 40 tons of hamburger meat, and they take a ramrod and they ram it down the boa constrictor. And it's there, and so it lasts like 6 months.
Yep.
And so I'm looking at this boa constrictor, and man, I'm so hungry, I don't know what to do. And they forcing this. And so I realize now that if you check all the Bibles and all the religious teachings on the planet, you will never see a word called intelligence. You'll never see a word called smart. Word called wisdom. We all born with wisdom. When these thugs decided they wanted to, they changed that to smart and intelligence. They can grade how smart you are by their standards. They can grade your intelligence. But if they could grade wisdom, they could build a pyramid. And so once I realized that the day I was born, everything that ever is and will be was here, it comes to me. And I remember one day my mother, I mean, she just couldn't get over the fact that somebody told her I didn't believe in saying the blessing. And she jumped on me. And then motherhood fit in. She stopped yelling and screaming. And she said, why are you against saying the blessing? I said, well, Mom, if I didn't have no money tonight, I'm not going to die. If I didn't eat tonight, I'm not going to die. If you held my nose and mouth for 15 minutes, I would die. And nobody ever taught me to thank God for oxygen. The most important thing on this planet is oxygen. And it's free, and you can't see it. Oh, man, what a blessing. And so, again, to get back to what you were saying, you know, I know now that I just visualize that there's an elevator to go up 200 million floors. Now, can you imagine? If you could get to the penthouse, 200 million floors, and it stops on every floor. And so I'm thinking that if you go to a hotel, for those of you who've never been there, there's a certain key you need to put in to go to the penthouse. Well, to get up to the 200 million floor, there's a key you have to put in. The key is not transferable. You can't give it to your children, your mom, your dad. The key is happiness. It's joy, it's pleasure, it's all of the nice things. No hatred, no meanness. And, you know, you stop and think about a white, racist, sexist, insane nation like America. And we are guilty of it. See, black folks don't understand. If you tolerate injustice, you become unjust. If you peacefully coexist with filth, you become filthy. There's a very interesting research was done at UCLA. Y'all can punch that up. and especially black folks, it's called African Americans and Caucasians have similar emotional brain activity. What they did, they took 100 white folks, and they went over with them over 6 weeks, everything they liked. Do you like your mother? Do you like your father? Do you like your school you went to and all of that? And then after they know all the things, you draw pictures of it. And then they hook a brain scan to your head, and a picture of your brain shows up on a screen. And it has shows the sections, happy, sad, peaceful, loving, kind, fear. And they show these 100 white folks pictures of the people that they loved and the things that they loved. And then they showed them a picture of a black man, and 63% of them, 63% of them, is fear, and it jumped through their skull. And they're not aware of it. Then they did 100 black folks the same way. And when they showed them a picture of a black man, 67% of the fear damn near jumped in the skull. So that's why when I'm talking to black folks, since I don't have the smarts to know which one's been affected by it, I just talk to everybody like I'm talking to a white boy. And so consequently, when they know this and can do research on it, they know how to control the masses. They got Colonel Sanders' Kentucky Fried Chicken can't use the word chicken no more. That's why it's called KFC, because they genetically engineered the chickens they use. They have no feet, no beaks, and no feathers. They say, but we're not going to take you off the market. You just can't use the word chicken. And so when you stop and think about how they come at you, all different ways, be still and listen and know that I am God. One of my grandchildren said to me, Granddad, how did you all survive without computers? I mean, his daddy got him a $70,000 computer when he was 5 years old. He's seven now. And the rest of my children call him up. He charged them $3 a call because they need him to fix their computers. He tell them what to do on the phone. So I said, son, we had computers. He said, when? I said, it was called a blackboard. And he took a piece of white chalk. And I said, here's what I want you to do. I got to go to Europe. I want you to sit on your computer and find out where blackboards are made out of, what they come from. And then when you find out where they come from, find out what they come from. And I came back, and he was smiling. He said, Granny, you shouldn't do me like that. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, to make a blackboard out of a thing called slate that comes out the ground. It's created by coal. I didn't know that diamonds was created by coal. And you look around in crystal. You don't have a computer today that don't have crystal. That's the memory bank. So I said, now, son, I need you to get your daddy to buy you a blackboard and some chalk. And then we'll talk. So I get back. He got the blackboard. I said, now, take that chalk and print your name on the blackboard. And he did. And I said, now, that was our computer. How you know your name wasn't already there? All the white chalk do is just color it in. So those was our computers. Everything that ever was and will be is here. The universe, you don't have to go to it. The universe come to you. So when you get rid of all the hatred and meanness, for instance, there's thousands of people that get out of jail, of course, DNA. You think DNA was just invented? DNA was here from day one. We just reached the level where we can understand how to track it. Well, don't you think for 1 minute your hatred, you hate Jews, you hate white folks, you hate black folks, you hate everything that ain't you. One day they'll be able to track and find out how many days or years of your life. What do high blood pressure, sugar diabetes, and arthritis, all that pain, one day I believe they'll be able to trace it back to the meanness, to the bitterness, to the hatred that this country functions on. It functions on racism and sexism. And when you read that article with Henry Kissinger, the word useful evil, as a matter of fact, it said when they had to release it, it was April, he made the speech April the 24th, 1974, National Security Council.
I don't mean to cut you.
Oh, I know.
We are out of time, and I don't want
the show to just cut and you're still talking. I would love if we can continue this dialogue, if we can get you booked again in the next within the next few weeks or within the month.
Call my wife and leave her your number because I need to get back to you.
All right.
Call my wife and tell her you talk to me and she'll book it whenever you want it. It's according to where I'm located. Okay.
All right. I want to do this. We didn't talk about the health care bill. There's so much education. I want to have you back, and I'm going to be calling her this afternoon. Thank you so much. For those of you who tuned in and didn't get to ask a question, when Dick comes back, we're going to make that happen. Lawrence, thank you for joining us. Ron, as always, a pleasure. Tell someone about Progressive News Weekly, where we keep it real, and we just bring it like it is.
Hey, come on, about to think about today.
This show was previously broadcast live on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com.